Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another week of JL Plays. The show with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him. And I'd like to remind you that you can always reach me through Twitter at JLPlays78 or by email at JLPlayspodcast@gmail.com. And for those of you that like to support the show, there's a donate link for you. Just go straight to the main page and you'll see a donate button there. And for those of you that are not able to donate, you can always share this with your friends, family, co-workers, that there's a JL Play podcast where he talks about movies, TV shows, anime, the whole nine, giving his unedited opinions about what he thinks about them. And also, if you're so inclined, if you're on iTunes, give it 5 stars so you can make the podcast easier to find. So, what would I be talking about this week? Well, one thing I definitely will be talking about is Black Crab streaming on Netflix, and also on Netflix, A Walk Among the Tombstones starring Liam Neeson, and an HBO Max series Through the Way of Australia called The Tourist. However, first, let's go into some news. Stuff I want to get off my chest. I started playing Lost Judgment. I started playing Lost Judgment on Xbox because it was part of the, you know, whole Xbox Gold, Xbox Game Pass thing. And quite frankly, the hour-long tutorial, the way it tells you how to play the game, it had me so frustrated that it feels like this is either the developers not understanding how smart their gamers are, they think their gamers are fucking stupid, or they're just shitty programmers and don't know any other way to tell you how to play a game that they created, or second, their main core audience, which is the Japanese audience, they feel that the Japanese are such shitty gamers and so stupid at gaming that they need this hand-holding tutorial system to be implemented so they could understand how to play the game. It feels like it's made for somebody that's never played a game before. And it is so mind-numbing, frustrating to have gone through that and deal with that. That is just baffle me how we're in 2022 and they still think that this type of, you know, tutorial system is okay and fine to put out for your game. If your game is that difficult to play, maybe you're the ones with the problem. If you feel that your game is that difficult to play that you need to handhold your audience, maybe you should rework the fighting engine or the game mechanics of your game, because the game isn't that difficult to play. It isn't that hard. I freaking figured out how to play immediately. I figured out how to do the battles immediately. If you ever played a Yakuza game, you played this game. You know how to play this battle system. And considering that Yakuza has just blown up in the last few years, yeah, this tutorial system has no business existing. It is god-awful how bad this thing is and how frustrating it is when all I want to do is get into the game. And secondly, it feels like they didn't want to make a game. On top of how bad the tutorial system is, it also feels like they didn't want to make a game. They wanted it make a movie. Because you spent more time in this game going through cutscenes than you do actually playing anything. It felt like there was cutscenes every 5 minutes. It honestly just, oh my god. If you just want to relive the Metal Gear 5, I think that's which one it was, the Phantom Menace, the one where it was just all cutscenes, and you know, and a bunch of quick button presses. Yeah, this is what that game feels like, and it's so freaking frustrating. Honestly, it truly is. But I'm gonna keep going through it. I'm gonna steamroll myself through this, and if you wanna watch me steamroll it through, just watch me on Twitch, JLPlays78, and see me go through my frustrations there. Because, wow, this game is... oh, it really tests my patience, and I don't have much of them to begin with. But, yeah, I think that's it for the things getting off my chest. And also, on some movie news, Pablo Schreiber, known as the Leprechaun from American Gods, and also Master Chief in the series Halo, has confirmed that he's in talks with Marvel for the role of Wolverine. So yeah, I think he's definitely about as tall as Hugh Jackman was, but I could definitely see him playing Wolverine. He would definitely be a good Logan. So that's interesting news right there. I find that very interesting that he's considering playing Wolverine. And for Marvel, I suggest they hire him because he's definitely an amazing actor. And he definitely belongs. He'll be a great fit, I should say, for the Wolverine character itself. Just check his work on American Gods and you'll know exactly what I mean. He definitely fits that role perfectly. Just dye his hair black, which I don't see that wouldn't be a problem for him. He's already dyed it black for Halo, the god-awful series. So, yeah. Also, a bit of news about the Voltron live-action movie. If y'all like Voltron, I don't know if this you might like this or not, but apparently the Red Notice director has signed on to be the director for Voltron, the live-action film. So I'm kind of disappointed there, but I'll leave the rest to you. Let me know what you think of those. Just let me know what you think about that news right there. We'll see what happens. And lastly, hello, Keanu. Welcome to the club. China bans Keanu Reeves films for over his support for Tibet. So free Tibet, Taiwan is its own country. So there we go. Welcome, Keanu, to the China will ban you for stupidity. So with that, that's the news for this week. Just remember, anything I talk about or anything at all, I have links for it in the show notes. If you'd like to let me know what you think about the show, what I've talked about, like I said before, let me know on Twitter or by email. Links in the show notes, like always. And here we go with the first topic, being Black Crab.
The enemy has taken out large parts of our units.
Welcome to Operation Black Crab. Your mission now is to transport two capsules across the ice. If you succeed, we win the war. If you fail, all is lost. Not just for you, but for all of us.
It's a suicide mission, Colonel.
This is not a request, Ead. It's an order.
Okay, that was a quick trailer for Black Crab, a Swedish film starring Naomi Rapace, Jacob Oftebro, and Eric Enge, just to name some, directed by Adam Berg. So, a quick synopsis for this is, in a post-apocalyptic world, six soldiers on a covert mission must transport a mysterious package across a frozen archipelago to reach the other side where their forces are waiting. Now, this movie for me was going to be part of a twofer with this and DMZ on HBO Max. But after watching the first episode and a half of DMZ, I will not be returning to it whatsoever. That series has so many problems from the get-go that I cannot even comprehend trying to make heads or tails of on how bad it is. And I just don't want to talk about how bad something is. And the main reason was because both this movie and that series have similarities where it's about a mother and she's trying to get back to their child. Here, she's trying to get back, trying to find her daughter, or at least get back to her daughter. And DMZ, is trying to get to her son that she's not seen in 6 years. But that's where the similarities end, and that's where anything coherent ends for DMZ. So yes, let's just get right into it with Black Crab and just say that this movie is such a wonderful treat. It is really, really good. I was extremely surprised at how much I actually enjoyed myself watching this film. It's very, let's say, Rambo-ish, sort of. It's very spy-ish. It has a lot of elements of a lot of different things. For instance, the main character played by Naomi Rapace, she's trying to get back to her daughter. She wants to get this over and done with, right? She's doing this out of, not because she wants to be in this war, because she is actually forced to be in this war, right? And the movie almost right away starts with them getting attacked in this tunnel where they're driving away and them hiding in the back of their car. And then they get found out and they get dragged and they get separated, her and her daughter. And then we skip, I don't know how many years. The movie doesn't tell you. They just skip forward, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, maybe two, maybe 6 years. Who knows? We don't know because the movie literally doesn't tell you. You just know that they've been separated for a while. And as a carrot on a stick for this, they tell her that they found her daughter, right? So she can agree to do this mission. But at the same time, agree to do this mission, there's a person in this group with them that is actually a spy. And he's trying to stop them from delivering the package because he knows what that package is. And it's extremely bad if their side gets this, because if they do, it will be the end of not just the war, but of everything and everyone. And yeah, that's where I'll end it for a quick review. From now on, I'm going to talk spoilers. So you're warned. But the package itself is not a bomb. It's not like nuclear weapons or anything like that. But it is a weapon. It is a chemical weapon. So they're planning to release that chemical weapon to kill off all the people on the other side of this war. They don't specify what type of war this is or who they're fighting for. It is just a war that these people are forced to fight in. From there, we move on to them being on the ice. And this is where the movie for me fails a lot of the times, because the main person that was in charge, right, of this group, it wasn't the secret spy, but it wasn't our main character. She has a commanding officer. And of course, as soon as the mission kicks off, what happens? The commanding officer automatically dies. They're the first one to die. So, you know, who's highest ranked to replace her? Well, it's the spy, but she doesn't want the spy. She says, I don't want him to be the leader. It should be somebody else. But the other guy's like, he's the highest ranked officer. You know, unless you have a good reason for him not being the leader, you know, he's technically the highest ranked officer. He should be the leader. Unfortunately, she doesn't tell him what she knows about him, which is that earlier in the movie, he actually set her up to be taken out. And from there, she escaped by the skin of her teeth. And then she thought he ended up dying or something because he just left her there. He told her not to get out of the car. He goes inside this building. And next thing you know, she notices people coming towards her. And then she ends up getting shot at and she escapes and makes it back to the base where, you know, the generals are. And she gets this mission, Black Crab mission. Yeah, she isn't a stupid woman, but she also doesn't care that he's a spy either. So she just lets it be. And also, the whole thing about her daughter, right? The reason she wants to do this mission, the reason she wants to complete this mission as hard as she does, is because they said that her daughter's on that side, is on that base where she's going. There's so much that happens to them. They get chased in the snow. There's a point in the film where they end up tripping over these frozen bodies that are in this, you know, lake, because the lake is frozen over, but it's not strong enough to hold vehicles, but it's also not weak enough where it doesn't hold humans, and it's able to hold humans. And it's also, they need to get across because in secret, and it has to be done at night, because the enemy combatants, the other, you know, faction in this, is patrolling this area. And then they make it to this cabin where this old couple's there just chilling. And things just kick off. They end up killing the old couple because the old man ended up having a gun and he ended up using it. So they ended up killing him. But they also lost another one of their friends. And by the way, everybody in this group is taken prisoner. I'm guessing at the beginning of the war, they're forced to do these missions. They're forced to take these jobs and fight for this side when they really don't want to. They don't want to be in this war. They don't want to be in this predicament. This movie, like I said, it's a bit long in the tooth, but it's extremely worth it because it doesn't feel it. You don't feel the time. It moves at a great pace. Everything holds up. There is a lot of cliches that we've seen in other films, but that's to be given considering if you watch a lot of films, especially war films or action films, you've seen the same thing over and over again, so you're used to this. But the thing is that it's done well here. It isn't just, oh, let's just do this for the sake of doing this because, you know, this is how it's always done. No, everything has a purpose. How they get to where they get to, all of it makes sense in its own narrative way in the story of this film. And I just think that's extremely well done by the director, by the cinematographers, and by the editing. All of this came together. It's coherent. It's cohesive. And it works well. Then she gets to the ending and, you know, she finds out that her daughter isn't there. She freaks out. She lost a toe. She almost died a few times. And then, you know, she freaks out. Then she realizes what the guy was trying to do, which was he was trying to stop them because the chemical weapon was actually going to kill everybody, not just the, you know, one side over the other side. It was really going to kill everybody. And since her daughter's not there, now she cares to stop it because her daughter might die. And I won't tell you how it ends, but it ends very dramatically. And honestly, I did not see any other way for them to end it this way. So ends dramatically, ends heartbreaking, ends very heartbreaking. And it's a fun ride, honestly. I just can't say anything really negative about it. It's a fun ride. Other than those little cliche moments, like, of course, the person in charge of the thing dies immediately as soon as the mission starts. Other than that, everything is well. There's different dialogues. You can actually watch this in English, original Swedish, German, I think Spanish also. So give it a watch. It's on Netflix. Yeah, that's what I think. I think Black Crab is definitely worth your time if you're into these types of films. So yes, I'll end it there for Black Crab. And don't forget that if you agree with me or disagree with me, you can always reach me on Twitter by jailplace78 or by email jailplacepodcast@gmail.com. Like always, links for you in the show notes. And now, let's move on to The Tourist on HBO Max.
Why would somebody want me dead?
You're looking for an Irishman.
Are you sure you want to know who you really are?
You're awake. Sir, can you tell me your name?
You've got, like, amnesia.
Yeah.
That is awesome!
That was the trailer for The Tourist, starring Jamie Dornan, Shailene Brunn Franklin, Danielle McDonald, Damian Harriman, Alex Dimitri Tardis, and Olafar Dario Olofsson. Sorry if I mispronounced that, but that's a hard name to pronounce. But his name does give me the reason why his English accent was so bad. Or I should say his American accent was so bad, because he's not American. Yeah, this is one of the worst American accents you would ever hear coming out of an actor. But yeah, Olafar plays Billy, Jamie Dornan plays the man, which is the man with the amnesia. Shailon plays Lucy. Alex plays Kostas. And Danielle plays Helen. The reason I'm going over who these characters play is because this series is so entertaining. I actually started watching this because of DMZ. DMZ was so bad that I just started looking for something else to watch. And then I found this. And quite frankly, I am so glad I did. Because this is way better, way more entertaining. Oh my God, than DMZ as ever will be. So yeah, the man, or I just say Jamie, I call him Jamie, his real name. He got in a car accident in the beginning. There was a truck that was following him. Kind of reminded you of that movie, Road Rage movie that came out years ago by Stephen King, where the guy was just following him. It kind of gave me that. It also gave me a little bit of Mad Max vibes on the whole car chase scene and everything with the truck. But that's beside the point. You find out later that it's actually Billy who's the one that, you know, tried to kill him. But because of this accident, Jamie does not remember who he is, right? So all he has is this little piece of paper telling him to meet someone at this time at this specific location. But before he goes, right, he's able to leave. He has to recover at least a day or two in the hospital. And that's when Helen comes in, as the beat cop who's there to take, you know, his statement and find out how it happened and what happened. And since he can't remember, he can't give her anything. So she's like, oh, that's something. So she tells him how to get to, you know, this location. Because he's able, like, where's my clothes? And he gives her, he finds the note. And he's there to meet Lucy, which you find out later on in the series, in episode 3. Because right now I just started episode 4 out of 6. So I just started episode 4 or 6. I finished the first 3. And yeah. And not to mention that you find out at the end of the first episode that there's a guy buried alive somewhere in the desert. And Jamie is the reason why he's there. And so now he makes it to this place and he gets up because Lucy ends up spilling a drink on him. So he needs to go to the washroom. The washroom in the diner that they're at is not working. So while they're walking across the street, the location where he was sitting actually blows up. So yeah, there was a bomb where he was sitting. And it was such a delay that it gave me enough time to get clear. I'm like, wow. Again, you find out all this was done because of Billy. And the fact that who Jamie is really. So I'm guessing some sort of drug dealer or sort of drug runner or some sort of runner for this mafia or this, you know, group of individuals, which is led by the actor Alex, who plays Kostas. But you don't find out a lot of information until episode 3. And quite frankly, the cliffhangers for these are insanely, like, oh, they get you. The cliffhangers do get you for each episode. So far, those cliffhangers, like, yeah, I need to watch the next one. But yeah, this series so far is brilliant. I'm freaking loving it. I can't wait to finish it. And as soon as I'm actually done recording this episode, I will actually go back and finish this series. At least I would try to. It is definitely late right now. So who knows? At the time of recording is extremely late. So who knows if I actually will be able to. But I would try. Speaking of series that surprised me and I'm continuing to watch. Severance. Remember I talked about how it I felt like it wasn't going to go to where it should have been going. Boy, was I wrong. It is so worth it. Yeah, sorry to put this right in the middle, but I think that Severance, it just hit me right now. Severance is a must watch. Definitely worth watching. If you did not think that my review of it was good enough or you were you know, still debating on whether or not you should watch it, yeah, definitely go watch Severance. But that's beside the point. Try to watch Tourist first. It's a shorter series. It's only 6 episodes long. So I think you'll be fine with that. Oh, by the way, this takes place in Australia. The host, the series and everything, the locations, all Australia. It is just desert upon desert. You have the, you even have the whole city slicker police detective coming to the countryside to catch, you know, to ask this person questions, this man with no memory questions, and he has to team up with the local deputy or you know, sheriff of the town, but ends up being a complete, like, silly person. Yeah, it has that straight man, comedy man dual thing going with that. It is fun series. Honestly, like I said, I think that's why I'm going to leave the Tourist. So start touring HBO Max and watch The Tourist. And with that, let's jump into the main event, which is A Walk Among the Tombstones on Netflix.
So you're a private detective.
What can I do for you?
Someone's kidnapped my wife. Find the man who did this.
Whoever took your wife didn't just pick your name out of a hat.
These guys are monsters.
They're not human.
How can I find them?
They'll kill me if I spoke to you.
I understand we have a new player in the game.
Let her go.
Or you will be looking behind you for the rest of your worthless life.
A Walk Among the Tombstones. Rated R.
Okay, that was the trailer for A Walk Among the Tombstones, starring Liam Neeson, Dan Stevens, David Harbour, Boyd Holbrook, Patrick McDade, Luera Byrne, Kim Rawson, and Eric Nielsen, just to name some. A quick synopsis for this film is, a private investigator, Matthew Scudder, is hired by a drug kingpin to find out who kidnapped and murdered his wife. Now, this movie is a lot better than I thought it would be. I'm surprised. I am so surprised with this Liam Neeson film. I thought this was going to be just another typical version of a Taken type of film. Technically, it is, but not really. Yes, it deals with people being taken, but it also has nothing to do with him. He's a cop that decided to quit the force after he accidentally shot a young child through the eye and she ended up dying. Pretty much that's how the movie starts. Is we see Liam Neeson, like, with this goatee and whatnot. He looks like a alcoholic, which he is. He's at this bar that's supposed to be in Washington Heights. But if you ever lived in Washington Heights, you know that bar does not exist in Washington Heights. But yeah, right? So these guys come in and shoot his owner. He just happened to be there, right? These gangbangers. So he goes after them because he's a cop at this time. He goes after them. They have a shootout. As soon as he exits that bar, it's literally my neighborhood. Well, at least an area near my neighborhood. There's a school. He runs by a school, which if you watch it, it's when he goes through that gate that he runs by, that's a school. Then when he shoots that guy, the last guy in the back where he's walking down the stairs, that's across the street from that school, which is next to those stairs right there are next to a bank. Right? And then when they go show that girl, that's across the literally across the street from those staircases and that where that bank will be. But because of that, right, it's also not Washington Heights. It is Washington Heights, but it's not Washington Heights. For the simple fact that that's all Jewish territory. You really don't see any Spaniards up there or anything like that. You may see them walk around or go, you know, and buy stuff around there, but a lot of them, the majority of them, don't live up there. The Spaniards, we live a little bit further down. like, what, like where those stairs were going, like down that way, that's where the Spaniards live. Even then, when you walk down the down that way, that's still technically Jewish territory. So yeah, like I said, I know that area very well. It is literally near my neighborhood. It is part of my neighborhood. But yeah, I found it hilarious because that's my neighborhood, and the way they played it out, it had me dying laughing. So I'm like, okay, a lot of this film is going to take place in this neighborhood, or, you know, or they're going to make believe it took place around this area. But no, that was the only time they show Washington Heights. It's him talking about his backstory of what happened, and then everything else takes place downtown in the suburbs where all the white people and all the high rise and all the, you know, brownstones and everything like that. In suburbia also. I'm like, geez. This movie is brilliant with its editing. It really had me going. But yeah. Besides that, other than the hilarious crap for us New Yorkers here in Washington Heights, that's pretty funny. But yeah. But yeah, the movie itself though is actually, like I said, pretty fun. It also stars the father figure or the cop or the sheriff, whatever he was of that town, from Stranger Things. He's in this as one of the bad guys that's actually kidnapping these girls and whatnot. You get to see him in this film, and he does a really good job as a sadistic person. Holy crap, he had me going. As soon as that whole shock of, oh, it's him from Stranger Things, went away, I'm like, oh, damn, he's really into this. And, oh, he's acting his ass off. And, oh, wow, I am scared of that dude right there on screen. Because, wow, he did an amazing job. Anyway, let's get back to the film. The film is Liam Neeson dealing with his sobriety, staying, you know, he's been like 8 years or whatever, alcohol-free after that incident. He also quit the force, right? And he became a private detective. Then, because of his AA meetings, he knows this other dude is an AA, and he tells him about his brother. His brother needs his help because his brother's wife was kidnapped. And then Liam Neeson, begrudgingly decides to take up the job. Because, or at least meet with his brother. And that's when you find out that his brother is some sort of drug dealer, or at least drug distributor, right? And they kidnap his wife to get money from him. But when he does give them the money, they return his wife. But they return his wife in pieces. They already had killed her. And they cut her up and chopped her up into little pieces, wrapped her up in these bags, dumped her body inside this trunk of this car, and then told him to go, that's where she's at. And then that's when he finds out that she's been brutally murdered. And then that's when, you know, Liam Neeson decides to take this case and tells him that this won't be easy. Then while he's investigating this, he ends up meeting this young little kid who's about, I guess, 14 or 15. Maybe, and he's homeless. He's constantly, you know, has to live in a shelter. Liam Neeson ends up like feeling sorry for him. He helps him out a couple of times, and he ends up being part of the story somewhat. And at first, I thought this kid was gonna be oh no. I'm like, oh no, they're gonna fuck it up. They're gonna bring this stupid kid. He's gonna do stupid shit. And he's going to end up being just a burden and a nuisance and just an annoyance for the audience. But no, he actually wasn't for the most part. And he only really did one stupid thing, but it was only half stupid. Other half ended up helping him out, but that's towards the end of the film, which I kind of enjoyed. It was like a twist. I'm like, oh, he's just not listening. He's constantly doing stupid things. Now we're going to have to go help him out. But it turns out, no, that never happened. And from there, we deal with things towards the end of the film. But before all that, it's just one of those procedures where he's just looking for evidence on who did it, on why he did it. He starts finding out cases about, like, this woman got kidnapped, this woman disappeared, that woman disappeared. They thought that her boyfriend did it, but he really didn't do it. And then he starts talking to the boyfriend. And to find out more information, he figures out something to do with his groundskeeper that he talked to that ended up finding these body parts of this other girl that they kidnapped and also chopped up that they threw into this groundskeeper. And then you find out that he was actually a part of one of the kidnappings that they did. And then he got freaked out because he saw what they were doing and he just bolted. I don't think I'm going to go too much into this film or at all because there's so much mystery, there's so much intrigue to be discovered through the acting, through the writing. And honestly, this is the first time I've seen Liam Neeson act in a long time. So, yeah, I suggest you watch it. If you want to see Liam Neeson act again, at least a little bit, I suggest you give this a watch. It's on Netflix. You can check it out or you can just rent it at whatever platform you choose. It's available everywhere. So, A Walk Among the Tombstones, all the thing was missing was an undertaker. So yeah, go ahead, watch it again. It's on Netflix or any rental service that you might want to choose. That's it for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for coming back. And thank you if you're a new listener. Remember that you can always find everything I talk about in the show notes. You can help by spreading the word about this podcast, giving it 5 stars on iTunes, or even if you're so inclined, giving monetary support by hitting the donate button on the support page of my podcast. Again, all of it for you in the show notes. And if you agree with me or disagree with me, just hit me up on Twitter at jlplays78 or by email at jlplayspodcast@gmail.com. And with that, remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.